Hey, everybody, welcome to the New World Pictures podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and all the movies they nearly released. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
I stripped to work on this episode.
And Erica.
Hi, Cinnamon.
Hi, Dazzle.
That's right. We're going to talk about a movie that was nearly released by New World Pictures. In fact, it was released by the company that followed it, at least in terms of Roger Corman. But first, we have to welcome you to Sextember De.
We're doubling down on Sextember.
Ooh, that's right.
I feel more uncomfortable.
<It's> gross. That's right.
Yeah,
because once
you
a
know.
Year, a man, his wife, and his brother talk sexy movies together. By New World Pictures.
Sextember. We're doing it. We're talking about it. Sextember. Brother and a wife and a brother and a son and a
Hold on.
That's right. We did this last year, so you can check out those episodes. And this year, we're starting off with a bang because we're starting with Stripped to Kill from 1987, the debut of director Cat Shea. Now, how this is nearly New World. Now, Cat Shea started out as an actor. And she started out an actor in a couple movies for Roger Corman. She started out in Barbarian Queen, the next movie that Roger makes that is not for New World. He was making movies for New World expressly to be released by New World. In fact, in his autobiography, How to Make 100 Movies and Never Lose a Dime, he says that like he had no interest in going back into distribution. He was happy, and he was supposed to, according to him, and I haven't read this particularly, but according to him, he says that he had a deal for like 6 years where they were going to get, they had to pay him 15% on his movies, and then they would get the movies to distribute. And he was very happy with this relationship. When they stopped releasing movies, one of which we've already covered, School Spirit, and another one, Wheels of Fire, that's when he sued them because they weren't releasing his movies, nor were they paying him the proper amount for his movies they had released. And they countersued because he basically went and started distributing his own movies. So this was, whether or not Barbarian Queen was made for New World, I'm not 100%. But she did a couple movies, also a movie called The Devastators with Sirio Santiago. And then
is that
she,
a New World movie?
That's, again, that's all for Concord or... Yes,
so
Concord
it's a nearly New World. So we
Concord
will talk
and New
about
Horizons.
At some point. Right?
We may talk about it at some point. Wheels of Fire was also a Sirio Santiago movie, which we will talk about. That was made for New World, but just not released by New World. But so she acted in those movies, and then she basically hounded Corman down and said, I really want to direct something. Worked on him, basically trying to ask him to let her direct something for basically like a year. And then they came up with this concept, they meaning Cat Shea and her husband, who co-writes this movie and I believe produces it with her as well. That's Andy Rubin. That's her husband at the time. They sort of become a producing, directing, writing team. And they work on a bunch of movies together for a while until they divorce. But so this was like her debut film. And she basically told Roger, hey, it's going to be... strippers and there's a murder and a girl goes undercover, and he was like, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I will buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, and she knew it was a very Roger Corman concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the first thing that she said was strippers, because the one thing this movie doesn't, skimp on, pun intended, is strippers.
It's so good to know. Sometimes I don't know when someone's saying puns, and so it's fun to know when they're like, oh, I meant that pun, and you're like, oh, good. Oh, I can enjoy it now.
For this episode, I'm going to tell you, I'll explain all of my jokes, and I think that's important because some of the feedback that we've received is people asking me, hey, Mark, I don't understand when you're joking and when you're serious, so I think I need to add a little.
Yep.
Rather than change up my delivery, I'm just going to explain my jokes.
We appreciate We absolutely appreciate your feedback. We would prefer it at info@newworldpicturespodcast.com.
Yeah.
That just send it to there. Don't send it in a review, a one-star review. That's
okay. Okay.
Well, especially with no actual review. That doesn't help us. That doesn't help us out. But we appreciate your feedback. We appreciate this. Yeah. This is, you know,
we do want to hear from you.
We do want to hear from you. Yeah, this is a dialogue. Let's just get into it. You know, let's hear your thoughts. Let's talk through it. Let's formulate a solution. This is a safe space
for you, the listener, to email me and tell me whether you think I'm being funny or not. Just me. That's just info at neuralpicturespodcast.com.
Eric and I are not taking any feedback.
Be sure you start with Dear Mark, or I'll keep reading, because I'll assume
Right. But if Erica sees Dear Mark, she stops reading. Nope. She shuts. She closes.
That's where it ends.
This is
close the tab. I'm out.
Not for not me. Want...
Not for my eyes.
Not a part of this. Okay.
Not for me. Yeah.
Not for me.
But you know what is for your eyes? The number of strippers in this movie. And I think it's important to point out how much time is spent in this movie on the stripping part. For people who are the doubters, who are like, you know, I've seen Showgirls, I've seen Striptease, I've seen all these other movies. How much stripping could it be? It can't compete.
I've seen it.
For the person bragging about seeing Striptease.
Right. For the people. See, Ryan, that was a joke.
Dude, I've seen Striptease.
Oh, that was a joke, Ryan.
I get it.
Ryan, that was a joke.
I've seen Striptease, so I've kind of seen some shit. So
Right. So just to whet the palate of the potential viewer of this movie.
Wow.
You have an opening credit sequence that is... What? Add the H.
What the hell?
See, but you sound like your palate's not wet when you say it that way.
What the palate?
That's you need to wet it.
What my palate?
You need to wet it. You need to wet it.
Maybe that was his problem all along. Bill, he just needed to wet the palate. Wet that palate. Everything would have gone a totally different way. Would have been a totally different movie.
Well, he's so busy screaming about the lotion that he just wore out all the saliva in his mouth.
Yeah. What he really needed was just a little cup of water.
Do you think when he put the lotion on, going back to our previous episode, that he took his shirt off because that helped him keep his arms nice and lotioned up?
Absolutely. Just...
Right.
Yeah, okay. That is the best way to put on lotion.
Correct, yeah. Like in Bad
Take
Manners.
Take off your shirt and bra if that applies.
Bad Manners from Ha Ha Guest, which we're not in anymore. We're now in Sextember.
Right. Sure. Okay, so at the top here, we have an opening credit sequence that includes a strip tease. That's 3 minutes and 10 seconds.
It's not footage from strip tease, but an actual strip tease.
An actual strip tease. For
strip tease
hadn't
been
like,
made yet. So.
I have the Blu-ray strip tease.
Yeah,
and
I know strip tease. I've seen it quite a few times.
I've seen it.
Then we have a 2 minute and 50 second strip scene with Dazzle. Then a 54 second scene with Snake Girl. A minute 20 seconds with Roxanne.
Really on that.
30 seconds with Amateur Girl. 2 minutes. This is Cody's first. Ooh, I'm learning to be a stripper. Strip tease.
Her audition or her first actual?
Her audition.
Okay. Got it.
Which it's amateur night. Then we get a minute 57 with Cinnamon. Then we get two minutes and 24 minutes.
Hi, Cinnamon.
This is Fanny from Paris. And this one does include cutaway scenes with Cody talking with the other stripper. And I cut those parts out. I had a timer and I kept cutting those pieces out. So your 224 does not include the dialogue.
Wow.
We had 34 seconds with Brandy, 45 seconds with Cody, 30 seconds with Brandy, 30 seconds with Fanny again, 2 minutes 16 seconds with Cody doing her, it's the end of the day and I'm going to strip my clothes off scene, and then a minute in the final chase scene, and I did cut out the chase parts of that. It's a minute of striptease cut in between, for a grand total of 18 minutes of stripping in this movie. For a movie that's only 88 minutes long.
There you go. Wait, it was 18 minutes?
18 minutes of stripping.
So why doesn't this at least have an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes? Because...
yes, it should.
Come on. Let's commit right now.
What does it have?
Boosting that
out of curiosity.
When I checked, it had 12%.
Oh...
Gotta, so. Guys, that's not fair.
That's three pairs of boobs too little.
And the reason for that is that, you know, just a teaser, but next week we will have an interview with the director, Kat Shea.
Yes.
And she will talk about the editing process. And Corman was very much involved in the editing process. Definitely liked to keep the stripping scenes.
Yeah, I wonder what 18 minutes of the movie he was deeply involved in the editing process on. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
It is a mystery, yeah.
And I want to be very clear. I was not criticizing this movie investing 18 minutes into stripping. That was a compliment. That was a straight-up compliment. Because it does not skimp. It is... Mm-hmm. You get... full start to end routines in this movie.
Yeah, you get the full routine.
Where else? No cutaways, just the whole thing.
So it basically took the titty count and just, I mean, that machine's busted. Erica couldn't fix it. It was too,
right.
She was
charts.
Trying to count them off all the and the whole machine, we were going to have to take it to the titty count factory to get it worked on.
It was a real Y2K moment. They didn't know if they could get to that many titties.
I get it. Yeah. Everybody thought the whole world was going to go gonna down like, because
like, there's too many titties in our this
commuter,
movie.
Our computers, rather, not our commuters. Yeah. Our commuters were fine, but the computers were not going to be able to switch over to the year 2000. That's what they thought.
Right.
Yeah. So, believe me, I was trying to keep it, but there was like smoke coming off my pencil. I just couldn't. I couldn't mark it enough.
It was a lot.
You know, I filled up pages and pages of paper. It was too much.
I'm sorry. Probably cramped your arm quite a bit too. I hope you're okay. Yeah,
it did. I had numerous times I had to remove my shirt and bra to put on some lotion. Numerous times.
I think we should at this point make our fake letterbox synopsis. We are on letterbox.
Are we doing that
so
for these?
Follow us.
Oh boy.
Yes. No one remembers how these nearly new worlds work.
It's been a while, Ryan.
Can remember.
Yep. Like a newborn baby over here. Just...
Every week, it's like we all just, we're all that, forget it, never mind, stupid. I won't make, we're in that, never mind. Dana Carvey movie, anyway, where he can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Is this a
Memento
joke?
Is a
you
better
should,
one.
You
no,
say you're
it's
about
not
to
a good
a
joke. It's not. I'm not making
I love
a joke.
That you keep saying never mind, but then keep starting to tell, like, finish the thought. You're like, never mind. But anyway, it's this movie.
I knew
never
you
mind.
Guys.
Dana Carvey, never mind. It's about.
I knew you guys needed to know what I was thinking because you guys are just endlessly curious.
I still don't know what you're thinking. That's the thing. I'm still confused.
I gave you some context clues, but that's it. That's it. Yeah. The rest you have to figure out yourself.
It's like Encyclopedia Brown over here now.
25 cents on the gas can, please. That's the payment he took. Anyway, I read all those books.
Ryan,
I wrote my own.
I'm
I wrote my own as a kid.
My jokes.
I wrote my own as a child.
Never mind. He read all the Encyclopedia Browns. Never mind. It's an
doesn't
Encyclopedia
matter.
Brown reference.
Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. I was hugely into them. Never mind. I gave him to my daughter. She really likes it.
Never mind.
Speaking of mysteries, let's unravel this mystery of this movie, which has got a lot of twists and turns, and then a big, big twist. But let's go to our fake letterbox synopsises. Mark, what's yours?
A young aspiring DJ takes a job at a hip nightclub. Finds out that the Craigslist post was not what it was all cracked up to be. And decides to stay.
Yes, yes. I had something similar to that. I was like, he was the hardest working strip club DJ in Los Angeles, attempts to get a date for a concert. Which leads to deathly results? I don't know.
Yeah.
Did he make it? I feel like he did, because I don't feel like anything could take that.
He got shot in the shoulder.
And he gives it such a look, you know. He really inspects it. He's like, I got a roll gunshot. I got a roll bullet in here. Look at this old shoulder. And then he goes, and he passes out.
Right, Which I think is just self-preservation. He's like, I'll just fake this and hopefully I don't get shot again.
Yeah. Sure. Smart. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to get in the other shoulder.
Yeah. He's like pulling an ostrich. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I'll just lay over the mixing board.
As he's looking at his shoulder, he's like, oh, I can do this with one hand, right? I can DJ with that. Mm-hmm. I don't need both hands for a little bit. Yeah. Erica, what is your fake letterbox synopsis?
Grandpa Ray would never talk about where he worked. Because it was a strip club. Silly grandpa. Tits aren't for kids. Follow this wacky romp as we see undercover cop turned stripper Cody Sunny make friends and solve crimes at Grandpa Ray's strippy barn.
Can you believe Norman Fell was in this movie? Isn't that wild?
Mr. Roper is so in this crazy movie.
Yep. And he's like a nice dude, wild. Generally mm-hmm. speaking. He's not real sleazy and creepy like you would think at a
no,
strip club
he gets
owner.
Mad at the girls when they're like on drugs or when they come back late from a break.
Yeah, he throws cinnamon to the wind when she finds out she's on drugs. Like, he's not in my, my club.
Partially responsible for her death.
And you have to follow the rules. He has that 5 feet rule, and he is very insistent about that.
Yeah, what's that 5 feet rule about? Is that legit?
Yeah, Mark.
It is in San Diego, but this movie doesn't take place in San Diego.
San Diego where we grew up? That's weird.
San Diego's where we grew up, and it's one of the only places that has a 4 foot rule between the stage and the audience. So if you go to a strip club there, the stage, while it may be in the center of the strip club, there's like a gutter all around it that separates the patrons by about 4 feet from the strippers, and they cannot get any closer than 4 feet from you. But in Los Angeles, that rule doesn't apply. So I assume that at some point when they're writing the movie, maybe they went to a strip club in San Diego and saw that rule.
They did go to a strip club, I believe. Cat Shay. I don't think she says. Yeah, I'm trying. Sorry, cut this out.
Never mind. Cut this out. Never mind. Keep it in.
Never mind. Keep going. Never mind. I'm going to say it. Here we go. Never mind. Here it is.
Anyway,
Cat Shay basically did go to a strip club. That's how she got the inspiration to do this movie, because she had a bet with Andy Rubin, her husband.
Bet.
Where he bet her that during a certain time of the year, mussels are poisonous. And that was what he told her. And she said, that's bullshit. And he said, I bet you. And if you find out that I'm right, which eventually she did and found out that he was right, then she had to go spend a night in a strip club, which he thought she would like kind of hate. But she ends up going and getting kind of into all the dances and realizing that this is kind of artistic and has artistic flair. And she actually decides, oh, that's when we should make this movie in a strip club. So, but I would imagine that was in Los Angeles. That's my guess.
And the point of this story is
never mind. I shouldn't say it. So anyway, so she did go to the strip club, and then they wrote the script.
It was one of the first movies to introduce a pole in a strip club scene. But
yeah,
I mean,
and then she
anyway,
added
really
a
matter.
Second pole. We'll actually had two poles on stage, which no club had. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Never mind. I'm not saying I'm gonna forget this whole thing.
You were talking about mussels, did you mean the food or like mussels on your body?
No. The shellfish.
Oh, for a little while there, I was like, your mussels are poisonous at certain points during the year? I guess I'm safe. I guess I don't have to worry about being poisonous.
They're poisonous to eat. Mussels that come from the ocean. So
that
I don't
makes
know
a lot
that,
more
if
sense.
That is true.
It looks like at the end, the late part of summer, there are times when they're poisonous due to biotoxins. It's typically in the late part of summer when toxic algae blooms tend to appear.
Okay.
So just really quick, question for you, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I know we're not at final questions yet, but I have a question.
Oh, wait. Before you say your question, I didn't say mine, which was, I actually had another one. Let's try a different one, a fake letterbox synopsis.
All right. Okay.
I had a second one, so let's just see if this works, and if it doesn't, cut this out. A man with a paper flower business is mistaken for a murderer in the strip club he frequents.
If you're a cop and the only clue you have to go by is weird dudes hanging out a strip club by themselves, you're going to be chasing red herrings for weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe they had one frequent customer. I was like, they just have the one guy that they have a nickname for? That doesn't seem right. They should have several, right?
So my, I do have a question for you, Ryan. I know we're not at final questions yet, but
okay, no, we're not doing final questions. This is Nearly New World. It's all right. I'll keep explaining the rules of these episodes. It's okay. It's no big deal.
I think maybe you need to email everyone the rules for the Nearly New World episodes.
I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna bother to explain anything. Never mind. Just, but we don't do that during Nearly New World. They're a little bit more open. It's a little bit more free flowing. Anyway, never mind. I'm not gonna talk about it. I'm not gonna go through
it. There are a strict set of rules that we all have to abide by. But never mind. But abide by those rules. You're upsetting Ryan.
Here's the thing. I just, I'm not sure about the exact timeline here, but was Greg Evigan already on My Two Dads when he started in this movie?
Yes. I knew this was coming.
Choice.
I knew this was coming.
Odd choice.
And it's the same year they both come out. So that sort of happened. So he comes out in 87. Wow. Actually, no, they may not be in the same year. This is before My Two Dads, because I made a note and I told Erica this. And Erica looked at me like I had just spoken to her in some ancient dialect that she had never heard. She was like, what? I was like, My Two Dads. She's like, what's that? It's like, it's a like, TV show.
And I had explained like to her. It's a great TV show.
It's a TV show, and him and Paul Reiser, and they don't know if they're the father of this girl, and they both basically have to become her father's Reiser.
It doesn't. You can explain it all you want. I've still never seen it. I have no frame of reference, but by all means.
I've seen it.
Man, yeah, Giovanni Ribisi and Dick Butkus on that show. Man, what a great show. Where's the Blu-ray for that? I'll buy it tomorrow.
I know, no doubt. My Two Dads, the whole series, the whole two seasons. So yeah, this is like basically the same year, but later than when this came out. So I'm not sure. He probably shot this before he did My Two Dads, but he had already shot the BJ and the Bear TV series.
For sure.
So this is after that. And also this is before...
Had he done Deep Star 6 yet?
Deep Star 6 is after this.
Okay.
Right. So that's 89, the year of the mysterious sea creature movies, like Leviathan and The Abyss. And
Deep Star 6. Yeah, Deep Star 6. I mean, this episode, for all you Evigan heads, this is your episode right now.
Erica was not impressed. She turned to me and she's like, are we supposed to like this guy?
Yeah,
and
I found him charmless.
No, that's fair.
At least in this, and maybe that's what I don't know. They were going for, you know, he is playing like a police officer, sort of undercover cop.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was like, hey.
Was it the part when he broke into his partner's house to take a shit? Is that the part
that
threw you off? No,
that's
I mean, I know we're not at favorite scenes yet, but who does that?
And maybe it's because
and doesn't shut the door.
Right? Yeah. And then doesn't wash hands afterwards.
Yeah.
Did not wash hands.
I don't shit with the door open in my own home.
With no one home.
Right.
Even if everyone's out of the house.
I still lock the door. So I'm a real private pooper. So
he's a private pooper. Pooper for money. Poops when he wants to go poop.
Why is he pooping for money? How is he privately
pooping for money? We won't know because he's got the door locked.
I don't want to talk about it. Never mind. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Pyramid scheme. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh my God. You don't have to poop. You can bring other people in that poop for you. And then you...
They poop as well, and then they get other people to poop, and that's how it just grows. And everyone wins, because it's a great business model.
Oh my goodness.
Excuse me. I can understand a little bit of why Erica thought he was not as fun, Greg Evigan. But that's because I'm sold. Deep Star 6, right. My Two Dads, lots of other stuff. I'm already sold on Greg Evigan, so I didn't need to be sold on him. Erica's unfamiliar, so... But he is kind of a bad handler in this, in that, like, not just for the reasons we talked about, he also signs her up to strip undercover at the strip club when that was not her assignment. She could have just gotten a job as a waitress in the strip club, and he was like, nah, why don't you go for the full Monty? They did not do the full Monty in this movie. But
it's a long way to go. to see someone's boobies. I just think, couldn't he have snuck into like the police, you know, the police office showers? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been cooler.
Perhaps but... then I would have felt the charm. I don't know.
Yeah, before he was a jerk. It was forcing her to strip. And now he's a totally cool guy that just sneaks in and checks her out in the shower. Now he's a great guy.
He's a creeper, but he's cool about it.
He's totally cool.
But if somebody's like goal is to peep on you in the shower, aren't you a little bit flattered? I mean, I know we're not at final questions yet. But if someone's trying,
we won't be doing final questions, guys. Never mind, doesn't matter. Yeah. We're talking about it anyway.
Someone is literally breaking the rules of work. They're mm-hmm. doing a potentially fireable offense to see you naked. Are you a little bit flattered? Just a little bit?
He yeah. also like sure. he
Yeah. He flattered, he right? Right, Ryan? Mm-hmm. Ryan, are you flattered?
I mean, I would be a little flattered. I think it's the fifth and sixth time that I would start to get a little annoyed by it. But for that mm-hmm. first time, I'd be like, okay.
I've been tricked into going undercover as a stripper too many times for me to feel
good. Oh, fair. Is that because every time you go undercover as a stripper, you get pulled in? You get lured into it, and then you can't get yourself out? I mean, isn't that what happens when you're a stripper? I mean, in this case, Cody is a cop. Like, she carries a gun.
Sure.
And legally can shoot people. Sure. But it doesn't give her the rush of stripping? Hold on. I know that you're probably thinking, Mark, you're crazy. But here, let me play this for you just so that the listeners can understand what I'm talking about.
How did you get into this business? Money. I have trouble waking up in the morning, and I can't type.
What about the power?
Don't get me started on my aging stripper stories. You're not getting hooked, are you?
No. And it is interesting. And it's more than just going out there and turning them on. It's like something's cutting loose.
Ooh. Oh, why didn't you let that song play a little bit longer? Should have let that song go.
Because unlike the other five movies we watched, this one has a horrible soundtrack. But
the soundtrack is hilarious, though. I know it's we're not final questions, but why is every song like "Someone Stripping"? Stripping is awesome, and stripping is neat, and boobies are cool. Stripping.
They had
is
to
awesome.
Do it. They had to put all the music in later. They actually had to strip all to music they could not actually put in the movie because they couldn't afford it.
Oh.
So they had to go with cheap music that Roger would afford. Or that Roger would pay for.
All right. Well, sorry. Please continue, Mark.
You had a question. I have an answer. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. He's very literal about that.
Last time I went undercover, I came out 3 years later naked on the Las Vegas Strip, and I was like, oh man, what just happened?
Was something letting loose when you were doing that? Is that
yep?
Was that?
I was shitting myself. I was shitting everywhere.
Only your bowels.
Okay. If you could have just had other people shit instead of you, and then get them to get other people to shit,
pooping for money. That's why we started the whole. Then I started going, I can't just do this by myself and make nothing. I need to start a business that I will make money from this pooping.
Mm-hmm. Are you a private pooper? Do you like money? Can you go private poo-poo? Then you'll love this business. This business for money. Just put your email on this list.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $20,000. To get you started. I'm done.
Never mind. I'm not going to keep telling you. I'm not going to go through all the rules of the business.
Pyramids game. Never mind. Not going to keep singing. I'm not going to do that. If you're having second thoughts.
Not only does Greg Evigan sign her up to strip, which he wasn't really supposed to have to do that, but then he flirts with her all the time. He stabs her with a fake knife, and then he ends up having sex with her, and then he like yells at her, like, fuck you. Yeah. And I'm like, man, he's not the greatest of all handlers.
No.
He's a bad partner.
And she's trying to cook him a breakfast in her big, giant industrial oven that she's got on top of her countertop.
Yeah, you know? a countertop oven. When your home doesn't come with an oven or a space for one, I guess you get a countertop oven.
It's not a toaster oven. It is so big.
It is an oven.
It's giant.
It's huge. It's unreal. I didn't know. I was like, do I want one of these? I don't know. Did I start looking pricing them? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Did you, Ryan? What? Oh my gosh.
I think the newly remodeled garage could really benefit one of those.
Is it showing up tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, did I pay extra to ship it overnight? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. I was doing a private poop and then I just got rolled and I couldn't remember. What happened after that?
Your private poop check showed up, and you were like,
That's right. I was like, ooh la la, who's rich?
Oh, you were like, this poop pays for itself. Oh. Well, if you're going to get that oven, then I'm going to get a snake that likes to dance. So
right, but that snake will piss on your bras, though. You have to be very careful about it.
I mean, everybody knows that snakes love to do that.
I mean, that's just, it's a casualty of the job.
That's really a given.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of our main character, Kay Lenz, she is from Moving Violation, which is a nearly new world for us, a movie that Roger Corman produced, and also from House as well for New World Pictures. She gets a lot of creative stripping scenes. She's complimented by Norman Lear for her creative stripping. What was your favorite?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. The spider web one.
The was spider that her, web. Though? Was that her?
No, you just said, what was your favorite creative strip?
That's fine. That's fine. We can open it up. I meant for Kay Lenz, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
for Kay Lenz, then I think, definitely then the one where she's coming home from work and just like doing, what a day, putting down my briefcase, taking off my shoes, getting my titties out. Because, I don't know, that to me felt very... It felt like the most creative, but it also felt like the most relatable and real because there is truly, truly nothing better than coming home from a long day and taking your bra off. There is nothing. It is bar none. You're
going to have to take your word for it on this one.
Just take that bra off, get the lotion out. 10 out of 10 every time.
Lotion those arms.
But you mentioning that scene brings up an interesting point, which is this strip club is unique in that they have really elaborate sets for each stripper to utilize. But as a patron of the said strip club, you're going to have to sit through a team coming out setting up, striking the set, setting
not,
up the
not even a team,
set.
Not just a team,
just
guy.
The DJ. Just the
okay,
DJ.
Just the DJ. So the DJ's going to come down.
He's
got to
come out. He's
got to
move
set.
A motorcycle off the stage. Yep. He's got to take down all
he's
this.
He's
got to
take
set.
Down the spider web. He's got to remove the neon sign. So, okay, you got to figure that's 15, 20 minutes maybe. Okay, let's just say 15.
It's one dude.
I mean, it's one dude. And you're sitting there going, how much longer before the next stripper? So question for you. I know we're not final questions, but
we
do you
won't
think they have like a – host stripper that's sort of like doing crowd work in between to kind of keep
everyone
riled
up. That's the DJ.
No, he's got to bring set.
He's got to bring a mic with him.
No. But you
just
need
like, hey, everybody, coming up soon. Once I clear this set,
I feel like you need another stripper that's sort of earning their stripes to do the crowd work and just kind of get people excited about what's coming next.
If they did, they let her go because that would have been Cinnamon. Cinnamon would have been perfect for that kind of assignment. She would have been totally drugged up. She would have been like, let's do it.
I would have picked Dazzle, but, you know, I mean, we all have our preferences, right?
Everybody has their favorites at a strip club.
Yeah, just kind of a boner killer to sit there for 15, 20 minutes waiting for the next set to be built. But, sure.
Very true. Very true.
And I know we're not at final questions yet.
We won't be, guys. It's not going to happen.
The ultimate challenge if you're like, hey, man, bet you can't keep your boner while they clear the set and save the next one for the next show.
Guys,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
I'll show you. I'm going to keep this boner.
Guys love to do that with each other. And now here's a foolproof way for you to make money off of this endeavor. Now you need to call 5 friends.
And you get them to get boners.
Yeah.
Foolproof. Right. Foolproof way to make money off your boners.
Yep. Okay. All that tracks.
So here's some final questions.
We're at final questions.
Okay.
Who puts cigarettes out in other people's coffee?
I do.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh, Mark. Wow, you owned up to that lazy. Fast.
Yeah.
That's just lazy.
I find a hole and I throw a butt in it. That's what I do.
Wow. Well, there's the episode quote.
Muscle. I mean, there's a lot of ways to take that.
Dibs on that t-shirt once it's printed.
Was that end last strip? Was that the gothiest strip you've ever seen?
I'm going to have to say yes on that one. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was waiting to see if you guys had maybe seen a gothier one, but for me.
No, I think that was for sure.
I mean, yeah. I think it might be the same person, but the one where it's in red light, but she does take a snake off a tree and then eventually stabs herself with a sword. And I was like, that's a runner up. It's a runner up, but dancing like the embodiment of death, that's pretty goth. Because I don't know a lot of goth. That's
really goth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
pretty
good.
Just throw, maybe they, do you think they throw her on while the guys are moving the sets?
That's what I'm saying. She's the one doing the crowd work in between. She's like, just throw her out there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just imagining the DJ just being in all black. Like holding a flashlight in his teeth so they can see what he's doing. And then he's just like, he's like wheeling the set pieces off.
So
because they don't have music running, so you just hear it.
Yeah,
because
he's not up there. He's not up there. So
well, I'm privy to Erica's answer on this one.
Okay.
But Mark, did you see the twist at the end? And so spoilers for everybody that hasn't seen Strip to Kill. This is where you want to skip ahead. But did you see the end twist coming?
I didn't see exactly the twist, but there was enough of one of two characters looking awfully alike. Especially towards the end, it started to be like, wait a minute. That person doesn't look like the person that is the person that we saw before. They look similar.
But it is the same person.
Yeah, but I think there are scenes where they intersperse him with her, and it does get a little confusing.
Sure. I mean,
it gets to where you're like, something's going on with this. Like, obviously something's happening here. But okay. I didn't see the exact twist coming.
Because Erica did. Because at one point, I had already seen the movie, and Erica was like, is that girl actually a guy? And I had to just play dumb because I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, no, that's the dude's brother or the dude's sister. And just try to play it off or whatever. But she had it figured out. She had it figured out very early on.
Had it figured out. And Ryan's a terrible liar. So when that was his response of like, I don't know. I was like, I'm right. He was like, I don't want to say it is, but I don't want to say it isn't. Never mind. But I mean, you're on the right track. Never mind. Just keep watching it.
You actually got it totally right at the get-go. But never mind. Ignore that. We're moving on.
Well, I didn't catch it, so I will say that I was a dum-dum because I didn't see that one. Watching it again, I was like, wait a minute. How do they explain the fact that he's like hugging his sister and like walking in on her and her girlfriend? And I was like, what the? And then there's that end admission. By the way, welcome back, anyone that has skipped ahead because they didn't want to learn the twist. We've been talking about it for a while now. So, hey! Again. Yeah, they were like,
I think
let me skip. They skipped like five times. Like, we should be good now. Damn it!
Damn them!
I was going to watch it tonight.
One thing I do want to give an honorable mention to in this is that meat sculpture that he's making at the beginning, is only sort of very briefly touched on again, but the brother is making this sculpture and it looks absolutely like he's making it out of raw meat. It does look like clay. Now, I don't know if it's the video quality or what of what we watched, but it looked like he was sculpting something out of hamburger meat.
Yeah.
Raw hamburger.
Hamburger meat and pastrami. It was rough looking. Yeah.
It looked delicious is what you're all saying. Yeah,
it
I
did look delicious.
You. The other thing is that Erica said to me while we were watching it, she said, I don't know anyone's names, right? And Cade Lenz does say Heinemann a whole lot, and it does get brought up a lot that her name is Sunny, but I don't remember her original name. But But then they do suddenly talk about a name, Margolin. And he's like the cop that's like dirty. And I was like, who the heck are it's, they? Who's Margolin?
No, it's Margolin.
Margolin.
And I was right. Are you saying my name?
That's right. Yeah. Margolin.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like your name. And and I was like, who are they talking about? And then I realized it's the neighbor who's a former cop.
Yeah, the one they introduced at the very beginning for a hot second.
Yeah, for like a minute. And he has a shotgun. Yeah. And then like he's got, and like, but we're supposed to retain that information all the way to the end. And his name. And I was like, I don't know. And this is like my third time around seeing it. I'm like, who are they even talking about? I have no idea who that even is. And then I had to kind of look it up to be like, oh, right. Mm-hmm. It's the neighbor who's a cop. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I have a question for you guys. At one point in time, Cheryl, who is the bundle of fun in the police office.
Yes. Oh, yes.
She is doing
favorite character?
Cody. She's certainly. Definitely. Are we at things we love, things we hated? Because I
not
loved
doing
her.
That for this one.
So I loved her. She was the thing I loved the most about this movie. But she's doing Cody's makeup, and she says, "Don't worry about it. My sister owns a brothel, or I know how to do this. My sister owns a brothel." And I thought, I mean, you could know how to do makeup because of that, but that's not really a clear line. It's like, hey, my brother owns a car dealership, and you go, cool, then you must know a lot about loan origination. Like,
okay,
sure, car dealerships do that, but that's not a direct correlation to say, my brother owns a car dealership, now we'll jump into, let's even go back to the brothel. My sister owns a brothel. Awesome. Then you should be able to tell me what are the tax implications for 1099 employees. couldn't you learn that somewhere else?
I like that. That's where your mind went. The brothel? And not the fact that she works at the police station.
Yeah, but they tried to make that such like a wink joke. And no, I'm not going to tell you where it is. But I was also like, you could have set up that she knows how to do makeup in any other possible way. Like, I went to school to do makeup at one point in time.
But Mark also...
Which would be a direct correlation to, like, I went to Aveda Institute. That's how I know how to do makeup. Right. Not
which
my
she,
sister
which she should
owns
say.
A brothel on her own.
Right, which she should say instead of the truth. Because you're saying she does cover herself by saying, I won't tell you where it is. But also, she works at the police station, and she's telling a police detective. Now, that police detective has to be the dumbest, stupidest cop on earth to not know, well, I could probably do a half a day work and figure out exactly where your sister has her brothel and bust that. Because, I mean, you don't
I'm
tell
not even
a
going
cop
that far.
At all. I know. I'm just saying. I thought that's where you would go. Yeah, if you're like, yeah, my cousin's a CPA, let me just take a quick gander at your taxes. Like, it's not, you don't.
And then a quick gander.
A quick gander. Well, that's like even faster than a quick gander. That's a
yeah. Oh, I know. It's like everybody knows that. You take a quick one, and then you take a quick one.
it's in between quick and a peak.
It's not what you said is a direct correlation. Like my cousin is, or my cousin's a CPA. So let me look at your taxes. That would make sense. I'm saying it's like my cousin's a CPA. So let me do your will and trust. Like it's not a direct correlation.
Right. That's
it's
true.
Tangentially That's true. Related tangentially to the other related. Profession.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Sure.
Guys, this was all a big joke that I've been setting up for a while that I don't think was hitting.
Oh, I get it. You didn't tell me right. You didn't tell me it was a joke. Yeah. I got lost. You should have told me that was a joke.
I kind of hoped that I could get a joke that would actually hit. But anyway, listeners, that was a joke.
That's on you. You should have prefaced that by telling us it was a joke. That's on you,
I wish
me.
She would have gotten really mad about it and been like, you know, my sister owns a brothel. That's how I learned how to do makeup. But none of you ever ask about my family, so how the fuck would you know what they're into and what they own? I wish you would have been like super aggro about it. Like,
it would have been perfectly fitting of her character.
Maybe you'd know this.
Okay. So I'm taking notes on how to do good jokes. Got it. Okay. Make
just tell
jokes.
Somebody in advance. It's always better when you're like, here's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell a joke now.
Jokes.
Here we go.
funny. Additional explanation.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Clear. Okay. She... For the next episode, listeners, I'll have this dialed in.
Wait, was that a joke or
No, mad?
that was me being serious. No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I just wish you guys would ask me about my family once in a while. But I mean, I'm okay. Just moving on. Moving on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening at my house, but you guys never ask. But I mean, it doesn't matter. We'll move on. We'll move on to other things.
By the way, this movie, no surprise, it's a big hit for Concord.
As it should be.
Oh man.
Huge hit.
It's still a big hit. I don't know. I dare somebody to watch this and not, you know, walk away without a boner.
Yeah.
Lady or
in fact,
man.
It even got a bigger budget than it was supposed to, because they had sent the script, I think, to like MGM, somebody who then was going to release it out on video, because Concord was not set up on video yet. And they got more money for it. So they got a bigger budget. And so they got money for it because they'd already sold like video rights. Basically they had seen the script and already got the video rights. So like they were already making money before the movie even came out. So this was a big hit, which is why why Corman orders a sequel. There is a Strip to Kill 2, which is made on the heels of Cachet's next movie, which is Dance of the Damned, which is again set in a strip club. But this time, it's a vampire.
All right.
Ooh. Ooh.
A vampire that is the only way she could make... She had a drama story basically intended, and the only way she could get Roger to make it was to turn the character into a vampire. And then he was like, I'm listening.
That tracks.
So, yeah. Anyway. But then because of that, she made a sequel on those same sets as her next movie with almost no script. And that's how they put together Strip to Kill 2. But it also sets off a wave of undercover, undercover someones at a strip club, because the sequel also has, she's not a cop, she's a journalist that goes undercover. Dance with Death in 1992, also coming out from Concord, is basically a complete redo of Strip to Kill. And there's also Slash Dance, which is also I think, again, it's a journalist going undercover who is trying to like figure out why all these women in this theater are getting killed. So lots of movies sort of ran through this cycle. And do we have, because this was such a success, a lot of movies in the 90s, a lot of stripper movies. Mark was talking about striptease and all that stuff. So we started getting a lot more movies about stripping.
And I will say that this movie does something that those other movies don't, in that you have the lead actor from BJ and the Bear, soon to be on My Two Dads.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of stripping. And then you have elements of Firestarter for the last quarter of the movie, which is amazing that this kid is able to start fires at any random time wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you liked Firestarter and BJ and the Bear and stripping, this movie's for you.
He used more gasoline than he just kind of created out of his mind, but still it felt like the ability to set them all on fire, to start the fire. The gasoline only helped fuel it, but
he's able to get ahead of her in the chase and set fires well before he gets there.
Yeah.
So it starts with him using gasoline, and then the timeline doesn't track. And the only way I was able to not get furious and throw the remote across the room was to say to myself, oh, it's like Firestarter. He's just using mind.
Right.
Got it.
Maybe
yeah.
At night, he just sets up lots of gasoline around places just for, you never
thought
know.
About that. Never gasoline evaporates very, very quickly. So you can't do that. So anyway.
Oh, you crunch gasoline, Firestarter. Huh?
That shouldn't be a crunch. That's a pretty well-known thing. It does evaporate fast.
I didn't know that. Well, you didn't know the thing about muscles. So, you know what?
Yeah. Fair. We all learned something today, everybody.
Yeah. Even me.
And we learned that poops can be a very powerful financial earning device. So, who knew
that? You can diversify your poop folio.
Well, this has been it for Strip to Kill. It's a fun movie. You should definitely check it out. Cat Shea goes on to do a bunch of movies for Roger and beyond. She does a bunch of movies. She's had quite the career. She's still ongoing, and we will be able, you'll be able to learn more about her next week when we have an interview with Kat Shea. Plenty more to stick around for Sextember Duh. And we hope you enjoy this episode. If you did, check out our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com, for all our episodes, our articles, t-shirts, buy a t-shirt, or give us a good review. And also some feedback at info@newworldpicturespodcast.com.
For me.
Give us,
for me.
Give, specifically. For just specifically mm-hmm. for Mark. Mm-hmm. Eric and I, we're good. We don't need you.
Nope.
Not accepting feedback at this time is what we mm-hmm. will say. Mm-hmm. But send Mark all your feedback. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Tell a friend about it. Tell a friend about the show. We'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.